I'm Mindy Peterson, and this is Enhanced Life with Music, where we explore the ways music makes our lives better and spotlight the resources you can use to enhance your life with music. My guest today is Renee Fleming, who needs no introduction to most of us. She is one of the most highly acclaimed singers of our time, performing on the stages of the world's greatest concert venues. Renee has been honored with the U.S. National Medal of Arts and 5 Grammy Awards. She has sung for the Nobel Peace Prize ceremony and the Super Bowl, and she is a leading advocate for research at the intersection of arts and health. Her latest crucial contribution to this burgeoning field is a new book that just released today called Music and Mind, Harnessing the Arts for Health and Wellness. This book is a curated collection of essays from leading scientists, artists, and educators that explores the powerful impacts of music and the arts on health and the human experience. Congratulations on your book release, and welcome to Enhanced Life with Music, Renee.
Thank you, Mindy. Great to be here.
Great to have you here. For me, your book makes me feel like a kid in a candy store. There are so many contributing authors who have been guests on this podcast, and I love the comprehensive nature of the book. It addresses the benefits of music in so many different facets of life. I also love the cross-disciplinary nature of the book. The essay authors include not only professional musicians, but scientists, medical doctors, and author Ann Patchett. Can you tell us some more about who this book is for, who your intended audience is, and what your goal is for the book?
Thank you for asking. So the book, you know, I've been so stunned by being part of this world and this new field that is exploding as we speak because of technology and the ability for scientists to look at the brain and learn so much more about who we are as human beings and why music and the arts are so impactful in our lives. So I just wanted to share my enthusiasm with the public. And it also it's a gift really to the people who are working, who've been doing this work for most of their careers, to kind of say, hey, I want to get this message out to the public, the music loving public, but also the artistic loving public, scientists, doctors, frankly. One of the hardest things with new research is dissemination, is getting the research to the public. So the more we can kind of work on that, I consider myself an advocate really more than anything. And working now with the World Health Organization as well as an ambassador has been also exciting to think about this in a global context.
Yeah, well, you have such a great point that all of the medical technology is really allowing this field to explode. I think artists and musicians are not surprised by the research that's coming to light with all of this new technology, but it's really giving us a platform for what we've known all along is true in terms of the impact of the arts and music on health and well-being. And it's taking that knowledge from sort of a soft science to more of a proven scientific reality for a lot of people. So that has definitely played a role in this field really exploding in terms of public awareness and becoming more mainstream with medical professionals, which is really exciting. Your book really gives a great overview of this field to people who aren't already familiar with it. And even people who are familiar with it, it's very comprehensive. So there's something to learn for everybody in it for sure. Tell us a little bit about the main sections of the book, how it's organized, and also, if there's a particular section or chapter that has an especially close to home personal impact for you.
Well, I organized it kind of as it made sense to me. The first thing that I really needed to understand was why are scientists looking at this? Because I assumed that they had better things to do. And then I discovered really the science of evolution, which points to the fact that, for instance, you know, music probably predated speech in us, in humans. And so that explains a lot. I mean, when we think about how we don't evolve quickly, you know, we're 10,000 years behind what's happening in the world, at least. And in terms of our brain's ability to keep up with the nature of what's happening right now in terms of especially technology, and I'm talking about the technology that we're bombarded with every day. not the technology that's enabling us to understand more about who we are. So so I started with evolution. I started with kind of an introduction to the brain with Dan Levitin, Evolution with Ani Patel, Francis Collins. So that's an important point, too. The fact that the NIH, which is the largest funder of biomedical research in the world, is now funding the research. That's
been and I'll just point out quick for our international listeners that NIH is the National Institute of Health here in the U.S.
Yes, and it's a game changer that they're now funding the research. It means there's a seriousness to it and a real potential. And, you know, I would love to see it embedded in healthcare across the boards. I gave a speech recently where I started with, you know, I want to see the commercial that says, ask your doctor if music therapy is right for you.
Love it.
Yeah, exactly. Side effects.
I'd love to see that,
earworms. So then we go to kind of hospital settings, and there's amazing work being done. And well, first of all, one of my favorite researchers is Jacqueline Kalinske, who's discovered that singing actually improves endothelial markers for people with in some form of cardiac failure. So
that was one of my favorite chapters. I will confess, I haven't finished it yet. It's very comprehensive. It's how many pages?
but it's interesting.
Yes. And I'm not willing to skim through it because I want to read every single word, but go on. Her chapter was one of my favorites.
Yeah. Cause it's so surprising. In fact, there's a lot of research all of a sudden around singing. Another surprise for me, this is not in the book cause it's newer to me, but that women with postpartum depression improve tremendously if they sing in a choir. So, I mean, that surprised me too. I would never have expected that would have an effect on something so intractable and painful. Mm-hmm. So we go to hospitals, then we go to some artists, friends of mine, Ann Patchett, Ben Folds, the Kennedy Center has a fabulous chapter. They do so much work in this area that the public's not even aware of. So, Carnegie Hall. We have statistics on education. There's a section on education, on music education, arts education, and how it benefits young children. Theater, Anna Deavere Smith writes about theater. There are systems in our urban areas that have been extremely beneficial to youth who are sometimes in crisis. So El Sistema is one in Philadelphia, and another is in New York City with a choir. And these are visionary young people who say, I want to change my community, and they do it. So it's inspirational. Then music therapy, we have that. We have a deep dive into some of the scientific ideas and research. And then we have the future. Yo-Yo Ma writes, so many wonderful people. There's a book called Your Brain on Art that was a bestseller last year, and it's written by Susan Meg Salmon and Ivy Ross, which I love. And,
yeah, Susan was a guest on this podcast discussing her book.
She's so great. And, yes. And I work with her on her NeuroArts Blueprint. I'm a huge fan. And her vision is much broader than music. It's a bigger umbrella, including nature, mm-hmm. including a lot of things I love, you know, theater, visual arts. So I become the poster child for neural arts because I'm so much happier now that I'm allowing myself to have these experiences and do things I enjoy, even reading.
Sure.
So the book is broad. It's very broad. It's you can sit down and kind of just read some things and come back to it. It's not kind of a cover to cover type book.
Sure. Or if there's one section that really piques your interest, you could certainly jump to that. It's not something that needs to be read chronologically. So as you mentioned, right. There's sections on therapeutic benefits, basic science, connecting arts and health, brain function, childhood development, technology. So lots of different sections. And as you mentioned, many fabulous, fabulous authors of each of these sections. Many of them have been guests on this podcast, and I'll include links to those episodes in the show notes. Was there a particular section or chapter that had a special significance to you personally?
I wanted to point out one chapter that blew me away, and that was Roseanne Cash. talking frankly about the horrible health crisis that she had and getting through it.
Yeah.
There are chapters that will make you cry. I'm a big fan of Tom Schweitzer, who's a music therapist, lives not far from here, who's worked with a young man who had a traumatic brain injury while snowboarding without a helmet. And his recovery. I mean, so there's a lot of moving material in the book that I think people wouldn't expect.
Agree.
And so those chapters tend to really move the needle for someone like me. They're stories. I mean, they're really stories of people's lives.
Yeah, exactly. One of my favorite places to turn for instant gratification and a dopamine hit is browsing digital sheet music at sheetmusicdirect.com. This online store is powered by music publisher Hal Leonard, and it has over 1 million arrangements that you can view, listen to, and download. No need to buy an entire book for that one song you love. Create your own library from selections representing all levels, instruments, genres, and holidays. Prices start at 99 cents, and you can both print your purchases and access them on any device, which is really handy for those of us who travel or are trying to go paperless. I would say this is my guilty pleasure, but it's actually a guilt-free pleasure. There are so many brain benefits to reading music, making music, and experiencing new music. Instead of subscribing to another streaming platform, subscribe to Sheet Music Direct to treat yourself and your kids to real brain food and a guilt-free pleasure. Access the latest hits and yesterday's classics at sheetmusicdirect.com.
This is Bob Bender, host of the Business Side of Music podcast. Check out our show where we talk about all things related to the music industry. We laugh, we share memories, we discuss what's worked and what didn't work. Our industry is always evolving and can never be locked inside a box. From the rookie fresh off the bus to the well-seasoned professional wondering which new direction to take their career, our show covers all the bases. Join us as we chase this elusive animal we like to call the music industry. Check us out at businesssideofmusic.com.
You've achieved professional acclaim and renown in your musical career, and you've taken on the secondary high visibility and high impact career in advocating for music and the arts, especially this intersection of music and health. Can you tell us a little bit about what that impetus and motivation was for you to become a music activist and use your platform and success to advocate for the benefits of music and this cross-sector collaboration?
Absolutely. I suffered most of my career from not only bouts of intense stage fright, but also somatic pain. I had episodes of pain that convinced me that there was no possible way I could sing or walk on stage. And it was wrapped up with performance pressure. So there was a lot to unpack, and I still battle with it sometimes. But I understand it better now. And the stage fright now, I have total control of, and I love singing, absolutely love performing. It's incredible joy to me. So I dealt with all of that at a time when the mind-body connection, for one thing, at least with doctors that I spoke with, wasn't really acknowledged. People talked about, you know, the brain barrier and, you know, there is no body connection, et cetera. So I really struggled with that on my own, but I kept reading because there started to be all these articles about scientists looking at music. And when I met Francis Collins at a dinner party 7 years ago, I said, why are scientists studying this? And so that's how we started. We basically, I had just begun my time to become an advisor at the Kennedy Center. And I said, do you think we could provide a platform for the science? I think the public would be really interested in this. So we've been doing that ever since. Mm.
Well, on behalf of musicians everywhere, we thank you for all you're doing to lend a voice to this movement using your platform that you have. We really appreciate that. And it's really exciting to see it grow and develop with your nurturing and many other people who are involved, like Francis Collins and others. In fact, speaking of him, I just want to mention one quote of his that I really enjoyed in the book. It may have been in the foreword, I'm not sure. But he said, the most dramatic advances in science and medicine often arise when two previously unconnected disciplines intersect, learn each other's language, and achieve insights that neither could have managed alone. Really like that. And one other quote from Ann Patchett. Leave it to Anne to come up with a great quote. She said, music, if we are in the habit of listening, can be the bright silver thread that stitches our lives together and makes them whole.
Yes. I loved that. Leave it to Anne. Exactly. And it's true. I mean, that's why music memory is the last to go, because it's those songs that connect to parts, aspects of our lives that do exactly that. Mm-hmm. They're connected to memory. It's a very strong connection.
Right. And music touches our lives in general. But one reason I loved Jacqueline Kulinski's chapter, I think it's called Can Singing Touch the Heart? She's a cardiologist, yeah, not a trained musician. And it was just fascinating to hear her talk about how exercise is medicine, but sometimes exercise is hindered by physiological limitations. Enter singing as a form of exercise. And she points out the cardiologic benefits of singing and how it's a low-cost, accessible, safe, non-pharmacologic intervention that can improve health. And just her perspective from being a cardiologist and how singing can affect heart health, which was really fascinating.
When I met her, I said, did you sing? Do you have a performance background? She said, nothing, not zero.
Wow.
So she met somebody, a therapist, who I think they decided to just try it. But it makes perfect sense. When people are sick and they're sedentary, singing mm-hmm. is exercise.
Sure.
And it stimulates, you know, so many aspects of our health.
Right.
Breathing, for one.
Sure.
But what to Francis's point also, I just started funding through the NeuroArts Blueprint Investigator Awards that pair a young scientist with an artist, because to kind of create a stronger pipeline for the research.
I would love to check that out some more.
In fact, I think in a couple of days, the winners for this year will be announced.
Okay. I'll look for that.
And the other thing I want to put out there is Francis Collins said, what we need in terms of research is for art therapists to also study neuroscience.
Mm.
So to strengthen that side of the training for people who are working in the therapeutic disciplines.
Sure.
So it's interesting. This is part of my messaging, I think, to just repeat the things that our brilliant people are saying.
Wonderful. Well, is there any final information about the book that you want to communicate to listeners?
I kind of put all of these different ideas and chapters together to create a snapshot of this world right now as it pertains to arts and health. But it is probably, I hope, something that will be around for a little while. First of all, I completely underestimated how much work it would be to do this, what an endeavor. But it's exciting to have it, because there's nothing else like it, really.
Right.
And I'm hoping that people can discover the passion that I have if they pick it up. It's also a great gift.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Renee. It's an honor to have you here on the show. I ask all my guests to close out our conversation with a musical ending, a coda, by sharing a song or a story about a moment that music enhanced your life, possibly a time period when music most enhanced your life. Do you have anything you can share with us in closing as a little coda?
Well, I used to develop obsessions with music, especially when I was in college. And there were pieces that I would discover that I would stay up all night listening to over and over again. And I don't know if this points to the fact that I was exposed to music at a very young age and was pursuing it, but I can literally remember the wallpaper, you know, when that happened. I mean, when I was very young, I would listen to Peter and the Wolf over and over, but I remember where I was when I first heard the trio from De Rosa and Cavalier. And somebody played it for me, and I think it was at a party, and it just transported me. I mean, music has that ability to create awe. And science, neuroscience is also a field that is everywhere now, but they've proven that awe is a phenomenal way not to make us feel small, but to make us feel connected to other people, which is counterintuitive, I think. You know, what, looking at the Grand Canyon has that same effect.
Sure.
But for many people, it is really that music can do that.
Thank you so much to Renee for joining us today and for all she does to enhance lives with music through her dual roles as musician and advocate. Renee and I both truly believe and know that music can make lives better, and I so appreciate her using her platform to spread the word of the many ways music can positively impact health and wellness. Renee's incredible book is available now. It's called Music and Mind, Harnessing the Arts for Health and Wellness, and it's available in hardcover, Kindle, and audiobook. This book is a great way to get an overview of the intersection of arts and health and also get ideas for how you may want to tap into this exploding field. As Renee mentioned, the book also makes a great gift for the people in your life, whether they are musicians, artists, medical professionals, educators, or parents. There are links in the show notes to the book, as well as a transcript of this episode and links to previous episodes featuring contributing authors in Renee's book, including Susan McSalmon, author of the best-selling book Your Brain on Art, Dr. Nina Krause, whose research is providing hard science evidence of the benefits of music, Dr. Asal Habibi, another researcher, and Dr. Indre Viscontis, a colleague of Renee's through the Sound Health Network. There's also a link to all episodes related to science and health. All Enhanced Life with Music episodes are evergreen, so check out the back catalog for more ways that music can make your life better. You'll find today's show notes at mpetersonmusic.com/podcast. This is episode 180. A link to that page is also in the episode details right in your podcast app. If you know of someone who would enjoy this episode, please share it with them. It's easy to do right in your podcast listening app. Just look for your app's share function to share by text, email, or social media. And of course, you can always share the show notes webpage as well. And if you'd like to stay in tune with the many ways music can make your life better, be sure to hit the follow or plus button in whatever podcast app you use to listen. This is free and conveniently delivers each new episode to your device when it releases, so you don't have to search for it. Following the show also gives you access to the latest addition to the podcast, mini microhance episodes that are about 5 minutes each. These bite-sized episodes are like quick musical snacks, offering tips, hacks, resources, and personal anecdotes to inspire you to enhance your life with music. As always, you can connect with me on email, mindy@mpetersonmusic.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn. Until next time, may your life be enhanced with music.